Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
China in the 21st century, an editorial at the Wall Street Journal with a surprising summary. This is from the Japan Center for Economic Research. And the bottom line is that China's growth has ebbed, that China is destined to be number two, at least as far as 2035, in terms of GDP, in terms of growth. A surprise because of the assumption these last 10 years that China was headed to be number one economy, number one military, number one power in the planet. I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. And before that, many years for the Wall Street Journal editorial board based in Hong Kong when she traveled Asia and when the assumption was China is headed to be number one. Mary, I come to you because not only this think tank giving us the hard numbers about China's growth and saying it's self-inflicted, having to do with COVID, having to do with property theft, having to do with bullying, self-inflicted by the Xi regime. But also an article very helpful in Foreign Affairs, the distinguished publication that calls upon academia and government at the same time to comment, China's Dangerous Decline by Jonathan Tepperman. Washington must adjust as Beijing's troubles mount. What I understand, there's a technical term. Not only is China going to be number two, it's going to be caught in the middle income trap, the middle trap, neither a great power nor a weak power. Mary, is this your opinion as well? You traveled China, you traveled Asia very recently. Is this a surprise to everyone else that China isn't going to take the prize? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening, John. Well, I think this shows you the danger of straight line assumptions and projections. I think a lot of analysts looked at China. They multiplied the population by productivity growth and said, well, voila, in a certain number of years, the economy is going to reach X and X will be greater than what the United States produces. And therefore, China number one. But what that analysis, of course, ignored is something that you and I have talked about frequently on this program, which is the nature of the regime. China's Marxist-Leninist system simply does not allow for the kind of environment that allows human flourishing to continue in a sustainable way. What do I mean by that? I mean that they don't have a solid rule of law. They don't have property right protections. They don't have any kind of encouragement for entrepreneurs to take risks and go bankrupt and start all over again. It's an extremely corrupt system. And I think, you know, some of these current commentators say, well, you know, it's just Xi Jinping and he's a bad guy and he's cracked down on the quote unquote private economy. No, that's wrong. China never really fully embraced capitalism. It never had any intention of instituting property rights, which is the core foundation of any successful competitive economy. And so it's not Xi Jinping. He may have aggravated the problem, but I think that the system itself will never allow China to be number one. But it's not China per se. It's the Chinese Communist Party that is holding that country back. As for Mr. Tepperman, I found that article in Foreign Affairs very illuminating because it talked a lot about the regime and almost not at all about the Chinese people themselves or what might benefit them. And the implication of the essay was essentially, well, you know, China's having a hard time because of what Xi Jinping has done implicitly, the nature of the regime that he exists in. And therefore, we can't really allow the situation to deteriorate because that would be dangerous. Well, I'm sorry, but isn't the continuation of this system even more dangerous? We've got a nation here that is amassing scores of nuclear weapons, researching chemical biological weapons capability that unlikely just unleashed a pandemic that's killed millions of people around the world, that's building a blue water navy, that's building a space, a weaponry program and capacity there. You don't have to look at anything else other than their military buildup to understand that this is an incredibly threatening regime. And maybe actually it's the opposite conclusion we could come to, that it's good that a regime like this weakens and it gives the Chinese people a better chance to assert themselves and at some point, hopefully one day, enjoy a free China.
What I'm struck by, Mary, is that Mr. Tepperman and other voices have said the same thing, that a destabilized China is more dangerous than what we have now. Hard to account for that opinion. It seems both otherworldly and cynical, because what we have now is an extremely dangerous China, one that can not just bully its neighbors, but genuinely threaten war routinely and join with the, really dark days in Moscow to dominate Eurasia. So as we moved forward, and as China now, according to the Japan Center and to other voices, as China accepts the fact that it's going to be number two, that will put pressure on the leadership. That will put pressure on the local leadership, not just the Beijing, but all the local leaders. Do you measure that the Chinese people, the working members of the society, not the Communist Party members, but the people who believe in free enterprise, do you believe they have the tools to dislodge the Chinese Communist Party and move towards a shared values?
Well, it's very difficult, John. I mean, look at the lessons that we could take from Hong Kong's experience, where you had millions of Hong Kongers come into the street and express very clearly and very peacefully that they wanted their freedoms, thank you very much. And for their troubles, they were surveilled, cataloged, tracked, jailed, tortured, thrown in prison. It's very, very difficult to rise up against a sophisticated state, especially one that wields the kind of big data surveillance technology and just pure thuggery, really, that the Chinese Communist regime wields. It's hard for us to understand what that feels like. I had a client actually just last week say, "Mary, why are the Chinese people so complacent?" And I almost fell off my chair. My answer was, they're not complacent. They're realists. They live in this terrible system, and they're afraid that if they go out into the street protest and somebody takes a photo of their face, or they walk in front of one of the millions of cameras, that their mother is going to get dragged away and tortured. That's the reality of what this regime is. So I think to have a successful change, you'd really need someone or some people in the leadership, in the top leadership, to stand up and to say, we're seizing power. This system has oppressed us since the 1940s. We're on the wrong side of every war. We can do so much better. In fact, we'd probably be more powerful as a free and democratic nation. That's what you would need. And you'd need someone with real power over the domestic security state and over the PLA, the People's Liberation Army. I don't know if that exists, but that's what I would look for to see evidence of the possibility of a real change.
Mr. Tepperman calls it the middle income trap, in which expectations flatline, in which people are disappointed in their lives and look for outlets, move away from working all the time, move away from savings because it's pointless. A middle income trap. That leads not immediately to destabilization. It does lead to despair. And the puzzle here is China's been celebrating for decades now, Mary, the Chinese dream. Can they give that up? Can the Chinese people give that up and tolerate this surveillance state, which you carefully illustrate? Do those things go together, despair and surveillance?
Again, I just have a different point of view than Mr. Tepperman with respect. I don't think there's any lack of work ethic with the Chinese people. Look at what they built, for instance, in Taiwan, one of the richest countries in the world. They have every aspiration to have better lives, just like all of us in the West. They're no different than we are. I think what may happen is that Xi Jinping is seeing his economy crumble and the prospect of social unrest, and he's trying to tempt Western firms back into the country to boost employment and output. And, you know, Western nations may just fall right into that trap. I mean, look, the Biden administration just sent two senior officials over to pave the way for talks between the Secretary of State and his, you know, counterpart, so to speak. And they just got lectured and bullied and harangued. The Europeans are going back to China. The Australians, Penny Wong, the foreign minister, she's going back to China. You know, everybody just wants an easy way out to deal with this menace. But there is no easy way out. And at some point, they're going to do something so horrible. And it's hard to imagine what's more horrible than producing a virus that kills millions of people around the world and tanks our economies for several years. It's hard to imagine something worse, but I think it's just going to have to take something worse for politicians to really feel the sense of urgency in the West that they do closer to China in places like Japan, where the government just did a U-turn on several decades of steadfast pacifist defense policy and announced that they're going to buy Tomahawk missiles. They're doubling their spending on defense, and they are taking an entirely different approach because they are alarmed by the military buildup that Beijing is engaging in. We should feel the same alarm in the West, and we don't yet. And I think that's very dangerous.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Here at Year's End, we're headed to Moscow and three possibilities again in the immediate future. None of them happy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.